You're listening to Around Comics, episode 109. This is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
It's very lonely in here.
It's a little, there's an echo. Yeah, it's a little quiet here
today. It is a roundtable of two this week.
Yes.
Our other co-host, Mr. Tom Caters, is taking the week off. And then our semi-regular guest, Mr. Scotty Young, is down in North Carolina for the Heroes Con. So it's just you and me, buddy.
Yep. Just us men.
Give me a beer. But that's okay, and be a different change of pace for us. Before we get too deep into the episode, I want to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
To help mice thrive in a world filled with harsh conditions and predatory attacks, the Mouse Guard was formed. In this first volume, Saxon, Kenzie, and Liam are dispatched to find a missing merchant mouse that never arrived at his destination. In doing so, they stumble upon much more than they had bargained for. Get your copy of David Peterson's breakthrough series, Mouse Guard, at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels, manga, and more. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
I believe that we're going to be talking with David Peterson, is that next week?
Yeah, so it is next week.
That's the new superstar of comics, so we'll be fun to talk with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really heard much from him. I mean, I know he did a few podcasts and stuff, but I'm very interested to talk to him. I have to go back and reread all of Mouse Guard. Mm-hmm. I did buy the hardcover, so
that's good stuff.
I'm gonna check it out, and then we'll pick his brain about mice and
swords and big crap.
What was the Tom
Claymores?
Yeah, that was it. Claymores. Yeah,
mice with
tiny claymores and stuff like that.
I want to remind everyone that Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. All right, this is one of our regular news and reviews episodes, so that means it is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, it is officially con season.
They're gearing up. Everything's rolling out.
Yeah, it's a Friday that we're recording this. Hopefully Monday that you're listening to it. And all day at work, we're getting little con reports and updates.
Scotty called me yesterday from his hotel room, bored. I'm like, "What are you doing?" "Nothing. There's nothing to do here."
I talked to Rick Remender.
I did not ask him what he
was
wearing.
He was in an airport in Las Vegas on his way.
Yeah, I heard Rick and Tony got a little some airline travel going down there.
Well, I think Rick was delayed getting to North Carolina.
Never good.
Yeah, he's playing slots in the Vegas airport.
Nice. Well, that's all right. If you're going to get stuck somewhere, Vegas is the place to be stuck.
There you go. But some of the most exciting news, and this was announced duly. For those that don't know, this past weekend was Wizard World Philly and Heroes Con.
Yes.
So two big conventions kind of
competing. Technically, they're going on right now as we speak.
Yes.
But by the time you hear this,
it's all over. It's all done.
Forget it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't even bother thinking about it.
Announce a duly at both conventions is the news
like
about...
Like Dula Dent?
The Dula Dent. I'm sure there was some Dula Dent news. Hmm. Both Dan DiDio and Bob Wayne announced that Mark Waid is returning to The Flash.
It took two of them to announce that?
One announced in Philly, one announced in...
Those tricky devils.
See, they're making sure
devils.
That everybody knows. And another interesting thing...
I wonder if the Bob Wayne crowd... Sorry, not to get off too far, but I wonder if the Bob Wayne crowd were wishing they were at the Dan DiDio... wishing they had Dan DiDio instead of Bob Wayne.
You know what they should have done?
Vice versa.
We don't know what they could have done.
Skyped them. Yeah, he could have played Dan DiDio.
Playing the role of Dan DiDio, John Sentris. But yeah, Mark Waid is coming back to The Flash. I wish Tom was here to talk about it.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing is that The Flash is going back to its old numbering system, the all-new Flash with Bart.
Well, they're going away from Flash, the fastest man alive, going back to The Flash.
With issue 231. Is that correct?
Yeah, the series ended in with 230 back in 06.
And I think, you know, in this issue, The Fastest Man Alive 13 comes out this coming Wednesday, so there's already a lot of speculation that there's going to be a huge change in the book, and I think some of that speculation is that Wally's coming back.
Or Barry. Or both. Maybe it's both.
I don't think you're going to see Barry come back. I can see Wally come back. That's my feeling on it.
I don't know. I think
they'll throw us a curveball and bring
Wally
back?
Well, did Wally have such a big following that it would matter one way or the other? You know what I mean?
It's Flash for like 20 years.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Most comic fans
know Wally.
I think they associate the character with Wally. I associate the character
with Wally.
With Wally.
Yeah. They are doing a, in September, they're going to release a special issue called All Flash Number 1 that's going to be written by Waid and then a bunch of different artists on that. But yeah, this is, you know, I know, because Tom immediately on the forum when this news was announced, he kind of piped in, and I know he was a little disappointed because he was kind of excited to see what Guggenheim was going to do.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed about that.
And not that he doesn't like Mark Waid, but that, you know, Waid wrote it for 8 years.
He's kind of been there, done that.
And it's like, you know, how many new stories is he going to have? He had his shot with the character, and it'd be interesting to see what Guggenheim could have done in an extended. Yeah. I thought Guggenheim's, you know, in the short, you know, work that he's done on it, I thought it was really good.
He kind of wrote it, not to shortchange Bilson and DeMeo, but Guggenheim really righted the ship. And a lot of people railed on Bilson and DeMeo, but I think they were given a really hard book to take over, where they went.
I don't know if I can. I don't know. I don't want to attack them, but it was not good. It was not very well done. For whoever was involved with it, they failed.
Yeah.
Whether it was editorial, whether it was the writers,
and I think
artistically,
Guggenheim has righted the ship.
Absolutely. And I personally am a little disappointed. I'm not a huge Mark Waid fan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Not that I dislike his stuff, but I was not that big a fan of his Flash run.
Yeah, I'm a fan of a lot of his other stuff. It's the Flash stuff that I'm kind of going back and reading. I in the last couple years, I've really developed a whole new respect for Waid and what he's able to do. You just kind of hear
not that he's bad. I just my personal taste is all. I would have rather seen Guggenheim stay on it and see where it goes from
there.
Yeah,
Guggenheim is
he's getting screwed, man.
Blade's
canceled. Mm-hmm. Now he's getting kicked off of Flash. This guy's going to be out of work here soon. He's going to have to go back to TV and. Why would they?
He's going to have to go slum back in Hollywood, right, for TV.
Well, it's just weird. You got a guy who's, I mean, I think he's done some pretty damn good work in comics.
Oh, yeah.
And his books keep getting crapped on. You know what I mean? It's like,
you know, it happens with a lot of good writers early in their career. Hey,
yeah, maybe.
Stars and Stripes. You know, it happened with Johns. It's, you know, Bendis' early stuff. You know, it
happens. I suppose.
This is a story.
There's always fan fiction, Mark.
I think Mark will be okay. You know, in the great movies of comics history, there's one that usually gets forgotten about and very rarely gets talked about.
Howard the Duck?
Toxic Avenger.
Oh. Well, it's not a comic book movie.
I totally regard it as a comic book movie.
Well, he is sort of like a superhero, but there was never a comic book of the Toxic Avenger until now.
Until now.
There is going to be one.
Yeah, it's coming from around the corner.
There was a movie adaptation of it at one time. Marvel did. Oh, okay. Well, then I guess I'm completely wrong.
I'm just, you know.
Damn me. Well, anyway, there's a new one.
Avenger with a mop.
There's a,
his mop of justice.
Yeah, the trauma guys. You know, that's an interesting. That guy is an interesting dude. It's like he's just continued to pump out work.
Trauma.
Yeah, trauma. And it's pretty amazing that he's been as successful as he has, considering. I mean, and I like the trauma stuff. It's funny. It's, you know, it's just irreverent and stupid and, but. I mean, he's been doing this a long time. But anyway, back to the story. Devil's Due's doing a trauma from a book called Lloyd Kaufman Presents the Toxic Avenger and Other Traumatic Tales. Tim Seeley's obviously involved.
I was going to say, we know half the people that are
Sean McKeever, Jeremy Hahn, Emily Stone. And the other thing is our friend Chris Crank, his first published work. He's got a story he wrote.
Really?
In there. I can't think of the name of it. I don't have it written down in front of me, but it's something like Zombie Grandma versus Babies with Chainsaws or something like that.
Sounds very crank. Good for him.
So
some of the crank cast.
I wanted to mention that, so go out and buy that, if for nothing else, for Tim and Chris, and because we like them.
Absolutely. Oh, and Sean and Jeremy Hahn.
Yeah, all those
guys. I don't know Emily Stone, but everybody else there.
Talks highly
of great her. Folks. All right, this is one that you wanted to talk about.
And it is, I don't know if I want to talk about it. Well,
Jesse
and
Dee Snider on Fangoria's Strangeland Seven Sins.
Actually, I don't know if you've ever seen Strangeland, the horror film by Dee Snider. He wrote and directed it and starred in it. It's actually a pretty decent, like, low-budget horror film. Okay. It's not bad. I mean, there's way worse horror films than Strangeland that ever came out.
For all the kids out there, do we need to explain who Dee Snider is?
Yeah, probably.
Do we need to talk about Twisted Sister?
I don't want to talk about Twisted Sister, but... Google Twisted Snider. Yeah, Dee Snider.
Anyone in their 30s, Dee Snider is a cornerstone of your,
exactly.
Your junior high and high school life.
My buddy had the poster of them on his bedroom door, which I thought was kind of strange, but I don't know. I was never a big Twisted Sister fan, but I am a Dee Snider fan for some reason.
It works that way.
But they're doing a comic book, him and his son, who I guess is a big comic book fan, much like, I guess...
You know what's funny? What's funny is that Dee Snider was always kind of like the white version of Gene Simmons, and now Dee Snider and his son are kind of doing
Nicolas Cage and his son, and they just keep coming out of the woodwork. I don't know. But I think, honestly, so far the people that have been announced, I think Gene Simmons' kid's probably got the best handle on it.
He's pretty talented. He seems
seems pretty bright, and I know he's a big comic book guy. He is, so.
Sure, and that stuff is all coming out from IDW.
We shall see.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get into some more convention news. This is coming from the Mondo Marvel panel in Philadelphia. That's where it seems like Marvel has a pretty big presence out in Philly. There's a new series from Roberto Aguirre Sarcasa? let me start that over. There's a new Angel series coming out. Not Angel from Buffy, but Angel from the X-Men. It's called Angel Revelations. It's going to be a 5-issue miniseries about Warren Worthington. So all the Angel fans, few and far between out there, check that out. I think the big news right now is that Marvel is bringing Marvel Comics Presents back, and they are doing it as what looks to be a pretty interesting 32-page anthology setup. This is going to be a monthly book that is going to retail for $3.99, which immediately kind of turned me off until I saw the format, and that is each issue is going to have 4 8-page stories, including 2 serial stories that will run for 12 issues apiece, along with 2 8-pagers, mostly standalone, but some will also continue in shorter serial arcs.
I'm actually looking forward to that. I think that'll be kind of cool.
Sounds like an idea a certain fellow podcaster of mine had several months ago. You've been talking about a serialized anthology like that for a long time.
Yeah.
Not saying it's your idea.
No.
You've been looking for something like that.
Yeah, I just think it makes sense. It's like it's an easier way to introduce different stories, different characters, different talents in a format that I don't, you know, I know everybody says anthologies don't work, but a Marvel anthology will sell.
I mean, it may not sell
100,000.
I get 4 stories
right.
for four bucks.
And I think,
like 3 of them, bang, I'm happy.
I know people don't like anthologies, but the trick with anthologies is the quality. You have to keep consistent quality, because that's what always happens with anthologies, is like you may have 1 or 2 good stories and then the rest of them are crap.
Yep.
Or the art is not very good on a couple. Marvel has a huge talent pool. I mean, they have, you know, tons of people that can write short stories and draw them and throw stuff in there, and they can do it, you know, in a monthly system where, I wouldn't even mind seeing, like, some reprinted stuff from years ago, you know.
But not too much.
No, not too much. You don't want to buy a brand new book that's all reprints. But if you threw in, you know, every other month or something.
This week with the Classic Avengers.
Yeah, and that honestly didn't bother me too much. I mean, as long as you know that going in.
Mm-hmm. What I like about this is a smart move from Marvel. You know, I hate the $4 price point, but I understand. I would almost like to see a lower paper quality.
Right, do something.
That's been talked ad nauseum on the internet. But I do like the fact that they're kind of, if not pioneering this, they're the first of the big two to do it. And Marvel is kind of what I've seen is they've been kind of more of a Me Too publisher in the last year. They seem to be kind of like following what DC is doing in some of their stuff. And I only bring that up in that we've all been speculating that Marvel is going to do a weekly comic book, and news about that came down today as mm-hmm. well. It's not exactly a weekly comic book, but it's darn close, and that is they're revamping the Spider-Man line. And they're canceling Sensational, they're canceling Friendly Neighborhood, and Amazing Spider-Man is now going to be
three times a month.
So.
Yeah, I don't know how this is all going to work. I read the interview they had with Steve Wacker of DC. He was the editor from DC 52 yeah. that Marvel kind of snatched away from 52.
That's what started a lot of the speculation is that Marvel hires away the guy that is editing DC's weekly book. It's like, oh, Marvel's going to do a weekly book.
So I know it's going to be three different sets of creators, three different writers, three different artists pairing up on each issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if it's going to be like a continual story every week. Or if it's going to be, or if it's not, it doesn't make sense to me. If it's not, then why do it?
What I've seen from the initial chat that Wacker had on Newsarama was that the three books will be connected, that the stories in each one will be able to stand on their own for the most part, but there will be an overarching storyline,
it's
price driven, it's all market driven.
No, I know.
They're trying to get
people that don't buy Amazing or don't buy Sensational or don't buy or whatever the hell the other one is,
actually,
Friendly Neighborhood, to buy it every week. You know, you say you're buying three books, but I mean, if you're going to have the same three creators or the same, you know, sets of creators every week. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to buy the first week. I'm not going to buy the second or third. I'm going to buy the second week. You know, that's what's going to eventually.
Sure.
Initially, you're going to see a bump in sales. You'll have people that'll try it out, but and then it'll fall into a routine. It's like you're going to have Amazing. You're going to have Sensational. You're going to have Friendly. They're just not going to be called that.
Yeah, they're all going to be called Amazing. Let's get the retailer perspective, Mark.
The retailer perspective.
You have the three Spider-Man titles right now, and do you have folks that only buy Sensational or only buy Friendly Neighborhood, but a lot of those folks buy Amazing as kind of the main one?
Pretty much all of them buy Amazing, and then some of them buy Sensational, some of them buy Friendly.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing seems to be
Amazing's definitely the three-to-one choice.
So do you think people will now buy it three times a month because it's called Amazing? But
oh, yeah.
Mark has this big grin on his face.
He can't wait.
He's just like,
oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
This will be the first time that you said anything nice about Marvel all year.
You know, I usually get about 70 to 100 Amazing Spider-Mans compared to Friendly, I get maybe 30.
Right.
Sensational, maybe 40, you know. And to have both of those titles go to 70 to 100, I'm okay with this. Very seldom will I say Marvel is doing a good thing for us.
So the fans just won't. It won't. Just because it says amazing, they'll just buy it.
They'll be happy
because they figure it's a weekly book.
Three times a month, yeah.
The Ultimate Universe has got some stuff going on. The Ultimate Silver Surfer and Ultimate Fantastic Four, Ultimate Power, and the upcoming Death of a Goblin story in Ultimate Spider-Man, and they're bringing some Sentinels into Ultimate X-Men. So. Everything's getting ultimized. We got some Iron Man news. Iron Man Enter the Mandarin by Joe Casey and Eric Canity. It's going to be coming in September, and it is in the vein of Earth's Mightiest Heroes. It's about Iron Man's first battle with arch enemy the Mandarin. And if you're reading Iron Man right now, there's a really good Mandarin storyline going on. Not a whole lot of people are paying attention to that series. I like it.
You've talked about it a couple times how you like it. I haven't really gotten into it. But
I'm kind of a espionage, conspiracy, military
You're
nut.
Kind of paranoid, aren't you?
I am a little paranoid, absolutely. Where's your other hand?
In my pants.
Got some updates on the Young Avengers. That's been a series that started off great and just kind of faded away, and it has to do largely with the creative team, and that of course being with Alan Heinberg and Jim Chung. Their availability has been spotty, but apparently we're going to see some more Young Avengers in early 2008. So fans of that series, and I know there was a lot of them out there.
Yeah, it was a good series. It started out great.
I'm bummed that it's not around.
Disappeared.
Anymore.
Yeah.
I like those characters. I thought it was a neat new cast of characters for Marvel to introduce, which doesn't happen that often. But they did tease that we're going to see Stature in an upcoming issue of Ms. Marvel. So they're going to sprinkle those Young Avenger characters throughout the
Marvel view. Yeah, they're certainly going to be around. It's just a matter of will they be back in their own book or what's going to happen with them. But
I thought this news was interesting, and for our show in particular, the question was asked, how long Scotty Young will remain on the new X-Men? And he's not an editor anymore, but C.B. Sobolewski was on this panel. And he said he's got a few more issues on New X-Men, and then we've got some plans for him after that.
Well, kind of sad in one regard. I know Scotty was enjoying his X-fame.
the X-effect, as he called it.
And I thought he was really good on that book. So
it still is, and he's going to be on it for
us.
He'll be on it for a while, I think. For him, he'll be
always excited to see, I'm sure, new stuff, and be interesting to see what he comes up with. Yeah,
so we're going to have to tie him down and beat him with sticks and find out what he's
doing. We should just call him and say, hey, what are you doing?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do that.
All right. Let's give him a call.
Hello?
Joe Quesada, please.
Shut up.
What's up, Scotty?
What's up?
Nothing. How you doing?
Fantastic.
So you're down in Charlotte at Heroes Con?
I am.
How is the show going for you so far?
It's pretty good. It was a little slow today. I don't know if that's regular or not. I don't know. This is my first time here, so I don't know if it's usually slower on Friday, but I don't know. It's going pretty... I mean, I can't complain.
What's the show like? I mean, as far as the size of it or compared to other shows?
It's a pretty decent-sized show. I think it's... I don't know. Jeff, what would you say the show is like, another show size wise? Would you say?
Yeah. Who are you talking to?
Josh Middleton.
Mr. Middleton. What are you guys doing? Just sitting around, hanging out, drawing?
Actually, I was getting ready to work on some commissions. I got a huge list of commissions that I probably won't do, but I'm gonna act like I'm gonna at least attempt to do them.
Nice.
Real quick. But no, there's a lot of artists here. This is definitely an artist-driven show. Definitely a superstar lineup of artists. So just about anybody, I think, everybody in the industry is probably here.
Well,
all the good ones like me.
There's the Scotty we know. Who are some of the headliners at that show?
Other than you and...
Well, it doesn't matter who else is here besides me. Adam Hughes is here. Like I said, Josh Middleton. He's here. He's not really doing anything, though. He's like... Yeah, I don't know. He just comes, you know? Like, are you doing sketches? No. You got anything to sell? No.
It's just...
I'm just kidding. He has prints that are pretty sweet. But Andrew Robinson, we're actually flipping through his sketchbook right now that I bought today. Are you guys familiar with Andrew Robinson?
It sounds familiar, but what has he been on, or what has he done?
I don't even know. He did that Dusty Star that came out through Image a little while
okay,
back.
Okay.
Sure.
Now I know what you're talking
about. He's done some other stuff. I think he did Starman for a while. He did a run on Starman. You guys probably know that. That's a nerdy book, right?
Yes, that's definitely a nerd book. We would be familiar with.
I'm sure you guys are familiar with that.
Thanks. Hey, wait, didn't you just buy a stack of Starman trades the other day?
No, I was going to because you guys said it was good, but remember they didn't have it anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, Scotty, they actually, I don't know if you've been on the internet or not today, but someone asked a question about you at the Mondo Marvel panel up in Philly.
Really? What'd they ask?
They asked when they were going to dump your ass off a new X-Men.
No.
Are you shitting me?
Somebody just asked what's going, you know, what's how long is Scotty going to be on New X-Men, I think was the question, and CB Sabluski, who is a friend of yours, said that you got a few more issues and then they have big plans for you. So I guess the news is out that you're not going to be on New X-Men permanently anymore, or you've got some more issues.
Yeah, no, I'm doing up through issue 43. So I have three more issues to draw because I just finished 40. So I've done four issues, and I'm doing three more.
Okay, so 39 just came out.
I do like how they're, you know, there's always a nice vague answer to questions, right? Like, oh, we got big plans.
Yeah, I think Marvel's pat answer today was find out in San Diego.
Yeah.
I have found out what my new project, my possible new project is, and I will say, it's motherfucking sweet.
Nice. Good.
And you can't talk about it, of course.
No, I can't talk about it, or the terrorists will win.
Well, congratulations in advance, and can't wait to find out about it.
I'll debut the news on Around Comics.
Sweet.
Nice.
Exclusive.
Hey, I love it.
Nice.
Now, I've heard that Heroes Con is one that I've always wanted to go to because I hear it is purely a comic book show. Is that kind of what you're seeing down there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think that I really haven't noticed anything else. They're basically the only thing here is dealers, artists, and, you know, little studios like 12 Gauge Comics from, you know, Image Studios. Image is one of the only, I think, publishing houses that are set up here that have a booth here.
Wow.
But yeah, there's not really a company presence at all. It's mainly just, rows and rows and rows of artists and little studio tables and a bunch of dealers. So yeah, there's none of the, you know, awesome fucking wrestling rings and shit that, you know, some other conventions put up. Yeah, no Ultimate Fighting, no midget wrestling, none of that super kick-ass stuff that you always look forward to as a comic book fan, you know, when you go to a comic book convention. But
Go ahead.
Why do you keep interrupting me and talking over me?
Sorry, I forgot. I forgot who I was talking to.
Sorry, Mr. Young, sir.
I apologize, Mr. Young.
Yeah, that's what I thought. See, I'm the type of person who gets mentioned at cons I don't even go to, so just step off. But I don't even know what I was going to say. Go ahead. You guys can talk now. You talked about my flow.
I was going to say, is there any like really good old TV actors or you know, washed-up movie stars?
Any of the cast of Three's Company there?
Yeah.
John, there's not even the quasi, like, the fake celebrities here this time, are there? No, they don't do that here. There's not, they don't, it truly is about comics, you know what I mean? It's, yeah, they want, like, oh, yeah, she played, like, reporter number 3 on the old Batman series.
Nice.
But, no, yeah, they really don't do that type of thing here. I mean, you'll see near the end of the show, Josh and I walked over and, and there was you know, Adam Hughes and Chris Moreno and a couple other guys up actually doing live, like, you know, you can watch them doing these giant paintings and charcoal drawings of things that they'll auction off later. And I mean, this is truly, I would say, I mean, I think there's some writers and stuff here, but for the most part, this truly is a show about comic books and comic book art.
Hey, did you get my sketch?
From Ringo?
Yeah.
Not yet. I'm going to hit him up tomorrow. Man, that guy stays fucking crazy busy, man.
Oh, well, then don't worry about it. I don't want you to bother him.
No, I'm going to get it. And if he doesn't do it, guess what? Well, I probably won't beat him up. He's kind of diesel.
Wait.
He's a pretty big dude.
Is he really?
Yeah, man. He's a gym buff.
Wow. What's with the?
You know, I hit people with chairs.
Yeah, you're a dirty fighter. I know.
I am damn dirty. I don't believe in rules. I don't think there's a fight rule book.
Just like
I have had a lot of people come up to the table though that have listened to Around Comics.
All right.
They say what's up. Yeah.
That's cool. All right. Tell them we said howdy.
The iFanboy guys came by my table today and did a little. Little interview with me or whatever they like to call it.
Did you punch Ron in the face like I told you?
Yeah, one of them he looked half in the bag while he was interviewing me.
Oh, that's not.
That's Ron.
Yeah, he was about half in the bag, so.
Well, not every podcast is as professional as Around Comics, Scotty. You're just going to have to learn that and be happy?
I know. I was like, this is so amateur. Where's Chris? What's Sal? Are you guys don't know how to act tonight without Tom and myself?
We're a little lost, just a little bit.
I think we're doing great. I think this is our best episode ever.
That's fucked up. Longest 3 hours
of my life. I'm just kidding. We miss you guys, and we'll get through it. But you know,
big reunion episode next week.
That's right.
The big reunion is gonna be filled with tears.
Well, that's
tears
every.
And Tom, it's tears and Tom going, let's get this fucking show over with. Sleep.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, well, Scotty, let's. I tell you what, we're gonna let you get back to your hard work and your commissions, and we'll check in with you later. But man, have a great weekend and a great con.
All right, thanks, gentlemen. Have a good show tonight.
All right, buddy.
Absolutely. Be good.
All right, later, guys.
All right, we've already kind of talked about it a little bit. The question was asked earlier in the day if there were any plans on a weekly series, and Quesada said no, and then Tom Brevert punned, our series will be done strongly. Of course, we now know that Spider-Man is going to be...
That they're full of shit.
Yes, that they are full of the crap.
Full of the crap.
Well, actually, it's not a weekly series, and it's only coming out 3 times
a month. So we had to be different. We got to be different. We can't do it weekly. We'll do it 3 times a month. It's
not
weekly.
We will do it strongly.
We didn't lie to you. We never lie. We're Marvel.
So that's most of the Marvel wrap up there. Moving on, we got some movie news.
Is there any DC news out of
About Wade going to Flash?
Flash, yeah.
I'm sure a lot of the DC news will come in over the weekend, so we'll have the wrap up of most of that next
week. All right. So. Fine. Poor DC gets the shaft.
Yeah, I'll see. Marvel, they know that we record on Friday night, so they get their panels done early on Friday.
That's exactly it.
That's it. Some movie news coming up, Ronin, and it's a good time to let everyone know that this coming Thursday we're going to be talking about Frank Miller, and you'll hear plenty about Ronin on that episode. But it looks like there may have been a snag or two in the Ronin development. Somebody took a bite out of the schedule for the Frank Miller movie. According to a note in Variety, director Sylvian White of Stomp the Yard is committed to Castlevania, and then he'll turn his attention to the original graphic novel adaptation.
Fantastic.
Which, you know, that's something that always kind of irks me, is that they're calling it an OGN. Ronin wasn't an OGN. It was a 6-issue miniseries that's since been packaged as a...
Well...
I mean, they weren't...
But calling it a graphic novel only because at the time there wasn't any such thing...
Sure. And we'll talk about this
more. I mean, but they were written graphic novels.
Frank Miller does not write graphic novels except for, like, what, 300. Almost all of his stuff is...
300 was not...
That was a five-issue
series. Well,
okay, there you go.
But he wrote it for the graphic novel format. It just didn't...
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he writes individual issues that end up getting packaged. So, but they always call it as based on the OGN.
Well... Yeah, whatever. Because that's what they're going to sell.
Exactly.
They're not
exactly.
going to go back and sell the original issues.
They're collected editions, damn it.
Oh, Jesus.
Some Watchmen news.
Hey, I have some DC news if
oh,
wanna.
Do you? Okay, yeah.
There's
ahead.
A few things.
Coming
announced.
In late off
yeah,
the wire.
Yeah, coming hot off the wire. From HeroesCon, they were talking about Countdown to Mystery was announced. Which is going to follow the same format of Countdown to Adventure, mm-hmm. and Steve Gerber will write a story on
oh,
the
great.
Helmet of Fate, and Eclipso will be featured in the backup stories by Matt Sturgis.
Oh, that sounds cool. Any time that Gerber works on something,
yeah,
I'm on board.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. No,
for those of you out there that missed Hard Time from DC, go back and get those back issues. That was such a cool series that just kind of flew under the radar of a lot of people.
Bob Wayne talked about Countdown, the Search for Ray Palmer, although there's no accompanying images for it. Ron Martz, the writer of the project, said Art Adams is doing the cover.
Oh, cool.
And that the tour of the new DC multiverse begins here. He hinted that it'll have some sort of intersection with the Wildstorm universe. Donna Troy, Jason Todd, and Kyle Rayner, accompanied by a monitor, are the stars. 6-issue series. And Ron Martz said he was happy to be writing about Kyle Rayner again, his creation.
Yeah, it's interesting. Those three characters are kind of at the center of Countdown as being kind of the
anomalies
of the multiverse.
I'm just happy to see Art Adams doing stuff again. He did
anytime.
He did the cover to the book came out this last week, the Classic Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
He did a cover to that, which was awesome.
But you know, Classic X-Men, that was half the reason why the book was to get the Adams.
Art Adams is so friggin' great.
You know, I picked up the hardcover of Tom Strong Tales.
Tales of Tom Strong. Or Tom Strong Tales.
Yeah.
Strange Tales. Something like that.
And the Art Adams work in there.
Oh, yeah. Monkey Man.
Amazing.
And
so good.
Also, Suicide Squad will be back in an 8-issue miniseries written by classic Suicide Squad writer John Ostrander.
Oh, great.
So Ostrander's doing another...
I've loved the Suicide Squad popping up in Checkmate has been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so that's... see, we need Tom because he would tell me about the complete history of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I can't do that for you.
I miss my Tom.
Oh, good God. Oh, and there was one other Marvel story that came in late that I thought was pretty cool is Terry Moore, Strangers of Paradise.
Absolutely.
Which ended this week. Mm-hmm. Issue 90 came out and that series is over. He's taking over the writing duties of Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane.
Did you have a double take on that? Huh?
No, you know, weirdly enough, I think that's perfect.
It's a relationship book,
yeah.
Which is Terry Moore.
And I actually may have to start reading that.
I know. I was just like, oh, crap, there's another $3 a month.
Well, what are you going to do? So there was a few DC stories that came in late, hot off the wire.
You know, this will happen again. This will happen again.
Before the end of the show?
You know, we do have another convention person that we should talk to. We have a roving reporter out there.
Roving, yeah. He does all his own stunts now. But, yeah, we could give Pat Loika?
Loika.
Loika. I can never
Pat
say his
Loika.
Name. All right, let's give him a call and see what Pat has going down.
Yes?
Is John Suntress' stunt double there?
Yes, this is John Suntress' stunt double.
What's going on, Pat?
Not much. We're just partying right now.
Partying in Philly?
Oh, yes.
I thought you were cutting down on the cons. So far, have you missed any?
Oh, I missed a few of them. I missed Toronto. I missed Pittsburgh. There's quite a bit that I missed.
But you have a live cam set up in North Carolina right now, don't you?
I wish. there was something similar, though, at the DC panel. Bob Wayne called Dandy Dio, who's over at Heroes, and they did some announcements via the phone. And, they were running the panel simultaneously.
Nice. We actually talked about that. They talked about the Wade returning to the Flash.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we're getting news trickling in over the internet. Have you heard of anything else cool out in Philadelphia?
Anything really new? I don't know. Did you guys get the Marvel stuff already?
Most of it, the Spider-Man Weekly, or kind of weekly, what
Marvel
else?
Presents.
Marvel Presents, and that stuff. Anything else we missed?
Did you guys hear about, I don't know if you guys read New Avengers, but apparently the New Avengers thing is connected to what's going on is Annihilation.
Oh, with the Skrulls, sure. Sorry, yeah. Spoilers.
There's some other stuff that they're kind of hinting at, but they're really saving all the announcements for San Diego, because every other question they ask, they say, find out in San Diego.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I'm sure all the people in Philadelphia that aren't going to San Diego love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That's why, well, hey,
who are you hanging out and partying with tonight?
Right now, I hang out with a bunch of friends, and then we're going to meet up with everyone again over at the Marriott. We already got wasted last night. So.
What's the feel of the convention like out there?
It's not too bad. It's only Friday, and it's not, I mean, it's not as packed as you would expect it to be, because there's another con running at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they got a lot of great talent here that that you really won't see. They rarely make con appearances anyway.
Like who?
And you got Steve McNiven's here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised to see him. Alex Malieve's here. Of course, you get Bendis, Oming, and Mac here, and there's a few other guys.
Bendis, Oming, and Mac. Do they like have an RV that they use to go to cons together?
I don't know, but they really should consider. They should do like a tour, but they did that long ago. They actually had a nice little panel where Bendis was asking them questions, and then they would have fans ask questions to them. And at the end of the panel, like they did, they were collecting money for the Hero Initiative. They were passing a jar around. If they fill up that jar, you can watch Oming and Matt arm wrestle each other. And that was a hell of an arm wrestling match. I actually have video of it. I will post it up when I get back.
Oming whipped his ass, didn't he?
Only one, but remember though, there's like a lot of backstory. I actually recorded audio from the panel, and if you guys want it, I will share it with you guys. They talk about like the whole history behind the whole arm wrestling thing, and like about 10 years ago, apparently they had their first match, and they never had a rematch because David Mack won. And they were saving the rematch for now, and they were at first Oming was reluctant because he hasn't lost an arm wrestling match in a long time.
Oming's been training for 10 years.
Arm wrestled since then. They have a really cool artist alley. I mean, you have like a one row where you got guys like you have Bendis, Oming, Mac, you have Paul Azaketa, Ivan Brandon, Andy McDonald, whole group of people who are really talented guys are all here. Doing their things.
Do you think most of the New York guys go to the Philly show because it's so close?
That's pretty much it. I mean, a lot of you guys are like near the area. They just drive down. It's like about 2 hour, 3 hour drive or something for them.
Oh, from New York, it's like an hour and a half. Yeah.
Oh, see. Yeah. Pretty close.
There you go. Well, any con highlights at this point? I know it's early in the weekend, but anything that you're looking forward to later on this weekend?
There's apparently some good stuff coming up at the Cup of Joe panel tomorrow. And there is also some Ultimate Spider-Man news coming up at the Bendis panel at 11 o'clock. And I'm not really sure what else. I'm really just here to hang out because I didn't set up a table this time. I'm actually here. This is like a vacation for me. So I just came in to hang out, see some friends, and screw around, maybe buy some stuff.
I haven't seen any
really good deals yet. That'll make me buy anything.
All right, man. Well, have a good time. Stay safe. Don't get too crazy. And what's the next show for you? You'll be in San Diego.
If you hear about a man that starts beating people up that are dressed as Elektra, that's probably me.
Oh. Well, hey.
Yeah, I kind of enlisted to be on the security detail for Brian Bendis. So,
jeez.
If you hear anything about a psychotic man kicking people just as Elektra in the taint, then that's me.
Nice. Well, Pat, we're less than 2 months away from Chicago. Looking forward to seeing you, man.
Oh, I am ready. I'm ready for Chicago.
All right, man.
I will see you there.
All right. You have a great night.
All right. Take it easy.
Okay. Bye-bye, buddy. All right, always good to hear from Mr. Leica.
Yes, he's a con animal. That guy is like
he'll in a busy year he'll do 10.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. I don't know how he can do it, but
well, it's what Pat does.
Yeah, it is.
It's
he's a monster.
So,
I love. I can't wait for Chicago because seeing guys like Pat and
you know Pat. Pat sent us some previews for the
Dial R Studio Anthologies. Pantheon, red
yes.
and blue,
yes.
Which looked fantastic.
So we'll talk more about that, I think, next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, they were great.
And hopefully give people information on how to see some of those previews. So always good to talk to Pat. He's great about the con updates. Let's get back to the news. We've got some more movie news. The Losers, for fans of that series, which I definitely count myself
still
among them.
I still have Tom's first trade of that, and I haven't read
it. Oh, you haven't read The Losers?
I have not read I think I read the first issue, and I knew I needed
There's
more time for it.
There's one character in particular in that series that you will absolutely fall in love with. He's the sniper of the group, and he's just...
I'm not going to fall in love. He's me.
He's you with a gun and a
sniper?
Scope.
I could be a sniper.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
No, but it's a series I keep wanting to go back to. I just haven't gotten...
Andy Diggle and Jock's series is being developed as a movie. Variety is reporting that Warner Brothers has hired Tom Story, currently of the Fantastic Four movie, to direct The Losers based on Vertigo's espionage series by Andy Diggle and Jock. So
there you go.
That will, from the first issue of that series, you're like, yep, this could be a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Diggle, I'm a huge fan of Andy Diggle's stuff. I think he does really, and he certainly does cinematic style.
Very much so.
Very action-packed. One of my favorite series of his is Silent Dragon, which was a six-issue mini that he did for Wildstorm, or I don't remember where that came out, but that was really cool book. That was
I haven't read anything from Andy Diggle that I don't like.
Yeah, he's good. And
Jock's art in that series is fantastic. So that will be.
We should get Andy Diggle on. Talk to him.
We do need to talk.
Hellblazer.
To Andy
he's doing a kick-ass job on Hellblazer.
He's a good writer.
Yeah.
All right. Veronica Mars fans.
No.
I like The Losers and Veronica Mars. Veronica Mars just wrapped up on the CW. They have officially canceled that series.
No.
The first two seasons.
And I never got a chance.
Were fantastic TV. The third series, a little bit. It kind of
That's an oxymoron.
It kind of lost its legs a little bit. But for fans that wanted to see the continuing stories of Veronica Mars and the rest of the cast, you may see him in comics. DC Comics is apparently toying around with the idea of bringing Veronica Mars, a la Buffy the Vampire Slayer, to comics.
It's kind of interesting that you're starting to see that kind of thing happen, where it was like, okay, comics are going to film and TV, but now stuff that's getting canceled on television is finding its way into comics. I think it's really kind of cool, actually, you know, for fans of the shows that would want to see a continuing story. I mean, Buffy, you know, for Buffy fans, there just is nothing better that could, you know, I mean, the show doesn't exist, but you have the next
the
best thing.
Yes, the show does exist.
Well,
and it exists in comics, I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty kind of cool. So it'd be interesting to see what other, you know, stuff. I want to see, like, Gilligan's Island.
stuff like
Sanford and Son. I want to see the Sanford and Son comic. Chico and the Man, yeah!
Chips, the comic book.
I bet you know what? Freddie Prinze Jr. is a huge comic book fan. I bet he'd love to see Chico and the Man in comic book form. Make that happen, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Well, I think that Veronica Mars would be a perfect gateway comic for a lot of people.
I don't like the term gateway comic because it brings drugs.
They are drugs.
It brings up shakes.
If drugs
I get the shakes.
Were this cheap?
Some drugs are. Crack is pretty cheap.
All right, so Veronica Mars fans, stay tuned. Your favorite TV show may come into the pages of DC Comics.
May come to a comic near you soon.
All right, that is going to wrap up our Wire-to-Wire comic book news and convention reports as we're in convention season. Look for more updates from Pat Leica, Scotty Young, and more.
And others. Whoever else we can sucker into doing it.
And that means it's time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the Stack.
Stack.
That's right. It's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week.
Nothing.
Oh. Mr. Caters, you always go first. What is your Top of the Stack?
Oh, that's just that joke you do every time someone's not here. It's just so funny.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Sitting in for Mr. Caters. Stop it.
Oh, yeah, but it's a gut buster.
Well, sitting in for Mr. Caters is a listener to the program, Ted, Mr. Apoc from the forum. Ted, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
What's your Top of the Stack this week?
My Top of the Stack this week is the latest Fables trade, Sons of Empire, which also came out this week. And I thought this was a great issue. I've been reading all the Fables in trades.
Me too.
And this one doesn't necessarily advance the story. There's not one main plot that runs through it all like some of the other ones do, although there are a few. There's a lot of little vignettes on some of the characters that are in the story and some of the more obscure characters. There's a thing on Rapunzel and how she can live in the Mundy world with her hair growing every day. You get a little of Hansel and Gretel's backstory and what's going on with them. You get a little more of Bigby Wolf and Snow White,
always good,
and their relationship with their father. There's a couple of Christmas stories in here, and at the very end, there's a question and answer issue that he did where readers sent in questions, and he answered them with little stories.
Oh, really?
So yes. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really well done. I always enjoy it, and I enjoy the care and detail that he puts into it, too. I mean, just, you know, the edge of every page has little, you know, like a little border.
Artistic
to set
borders.
Things off.
Yeah.
There's a couple of different artists that are in here, and it's well drawn.
Sure, I think the reader question issue was one that Tom had actually picked as his Top of the Stack for that individual issue. The Rapunzel story, and I remember that whenever it came out in the single issues, and I'm trying to remember who drew that, and I thought it was just absolutely fantastic, the art in it. And who is it?
I don't know.
Gene Ha.
There you go.
Local Chicago guy. Gene Ha.
Makes good.
I'm also reading Fables and Trade. I'm only up to like 6 or 7, I think. But it's just such a consistently good book. And, you know, he was so smart in creating that world where he can do anything with it. You know,
right.
It's like you can have, you know, a complete trade of stuff that isn't necessarily, you know, pushing the story forward, but
it's just it's deepening the immersion.
Mythology of it.
And
I mean, he goes into Santa and how Santa's a fable in here.
He can go anywhere with it and do anything he wants with it. And it's always good. I don't know that there's any bad issues of Fable that have been put out. And it's
consistently good one.
And when we talk about a book that's like reader friendly to like new readers, or you know, pretty much anybody could pick up that book and should enjoy it. It's just so well done.
Absolutely. Sal, what's your Top of the Stack?
My Top of the Stack is World War Hulk number 1 of 5.
You and Ted had to arm wrestle for that one.
Yep. Yeah. Greg Pak wrote it, continuing from the Planet Hulk storyline, with John Romita Jr. art, Klaus Janson inks. I have been looking forward to this ever since the beginning of Planet Hulk. While I liked Planet Hulk a lot, the whole time I was just
waiting
for this moment for Hulk to come back to Earth, and I wasn't disappointed. I thought it was exactly what I wanted. It was action. It was Hulk smash. It was just, you know, him making his presence known.
Big Green is back.
But also different. I mean, it was also a little unexpected, maybe to people that aren't familiar with the current Hulk storyline, in the fact that this is a different kind of Hulk. He's not just this mindless, rampaging beast. He's angrier than he's ever been before, but it's more of a deep-seated, seething...
Calculated.
Yeah, very
and
calculated.
Focused.
And focused, and he has people around him that are helping him with, you know, technology and different types. It's a different Hulk.
He's a warlord.
Yeah, absolutely. And this particular issue I thought was a great start to the World War Hulk. There were a couple of things in it that I would have liked to have seen differently, or that kind of nagged at me a little bit, but nothing. I mean, there was the fight between Black Bolt and the Hulk, I would have liked to have actually seen the fight.
Right.
Sure. But I almost kind of understand why they didn't do that, you know. And
but
also,
I like, I mean, the line at the beginning of the fight is cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where he's like, you know, I didn't come
here
to hear your whisper.
Hear you whisper.
Great, great. And
oh, side note, for those that want to catch up and really get in-depth with what the Hulk's been going through, the Planet Hulk hardcover came out this past week.
Right. What I liked so much about it was it kept me guessing, but it didn't let me down at any point.
Right.
It was like I was waiting, anticipating the Hulk being defeated or like this quick resolution, or, you know, it's like he goes up against Black Bolt. You figure, okay, you know, what's going to happen? But what you think is going to happen doesn't happen. He goes up against Tony and the nanobite technology, and what you think might happen doesn't happen. And
the scene with Tony is another great one where he just says, oh, hell.
Yeah, when he comes, yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, like, deep storylines in this. This isn't a complex work. It's just a good action-packed Hulk kicking ass, and I'm really excited to see where it goes from there. So, and the art was great. I thought Romita did something a little different. I felt that the art was with Klaus Janson's inks on top of John Romita Jr. I don't know if I've seen that really before, but I really liked it. I thought it gave Romita's stuff a new look.
I like the issue. Definitely going to be in for the miniseries. Interested to see what kind of ripple effects this has through the Marvel U and how it kind of messes with the House of Cards that Tony Stark is kind of put together through the initiative and everything else.
Yeah, my biggest worry about it at this point is just like I hope it doesn't end up being disappointing. I mean, I know, you know, as a fan of the storyline and what's going on, it's like obviously I'm on the Hulk side, and like deep down, it's like yeah, I want to see the Hulk kill Tony Stark and you know mangle
and
Reed Richards because they deserve it. But I know that's not going to happen. I mean, it's just, you know, but I still want to see some sort of interesting resolution to this, how this is going to play out, what it's going to do. I mean, I know the Hulk's not going to destroy the planet. It's just, you know,
they killed Captain America. Maybe they
well, you
kill
never
them
know.
All
but
and
that's,
reboot it.
But what I liked about this issue so much is that it wasn't what I expected, yet it was completely satisfying in my anticipation of it. So in both ways, I thought it really, really worked well, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
And I like the way the Hulk exposed them. I mean, it told the world what they did to try to get, you know, public opinion on his side.
Yeah. So it's a different Hulk. It's certainly a much more interesting Hulk than what we've seen in a long time, I think.
All right. I'm on board. My top of the stack is Hellboy. Darkness Calls, number 2 of 6. Hellboy's kind of had some time off, and I know that Tom, Sal, and I are all Hellboy fans. It's when the comics world has a Hellboy comic ongoing, it's a happier place for me, and to see a new miniseries with Hellboy has been a lot of fun. It was much anticipated by me, and this is living up to everything that you want a Hellboy comic to be through Mike Mignola's entire run with this character. It has the, you know, bizarre mixes of folklore. You've got really nice art done by Duncan Figredo that he's really really feeling the Mignola atmosphere that you come to expect in a Hellboy book. To explain the plot in just about any Hellboy book is going to be difficult. They're trying to bring witches back to life. Hellboy is kind of thrown into the middle of this. He really doesn't know what's going on. You get some great former villains from the Hellboy mythos, which I don't want to spoil the last page, but yeah, you get a return character for some old storylines. This really does draw on a lot of the old story, on a lot of the old Hellboy stories, which they use the editor's note very effectively in this by referencing old stories and then saying it was...
Which they've always done that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something they're not afraid of the mythos that's been built up in this series. So you can read this, and I like the editor's notes as kind of a guide to go back if you haven't read them and pick up some great Hellboy stories, like, you know, Right Hand of Doom or Emperor Worm.
Emperor Worm, Right Hand of Doom, Coffin and other stories. I don't know. There's only
so
about 10
just
trades.
Good, fun, dark writing. There's Hellboy's sense of humor comes off in ways that, you know, you wouldn't expect a demon-like hero character. The banter that he has, it's Hellboy is just such a treasure in comics that if you're not reading it, I highly suggest
you're stupid.
It. Stupid! And I love the way that Mignola launches these in a series of mini-series. It gives you great jump-on points, and you don't have to be totally tied into the entire mythos to enjoy it.
Because you won't understand it anyway.
Exactly.
Right.
But it's fun.
Yeah, and you don't have to. I mean, you don't.
It's a Jackson Pollock painting. You don't have to understand it to appreciate it.
It's... you know, his own little world that he's created, and he loves playing with, you know, folklore and mythology and throwing Hellboy into those situations. Yep. And it's Hellboy. It's good stuff.
It's just fun, great comics. So that's my top of the stack. All right, that'll take care of our top of the stack. Sal, why don't you let us know what is coming out next week that we should be aware of?
Well, next week, the 20th of June, there's all sorts of good stuff. I picked out a few things from a few different publishers. First off, Conan number 41 from Dark Horse Publishing. This is the first part of the Timothy Truman and Kerry Nord adaptation of Robert E. Howard classic Rogues in the House. So if you haven't been reading Conan, or if you're a Conan fan, you've been waiting for this particular story arc to start, here it is. You might want to check it out now. It's a good maybe jumping off point. And Rogues in the House is a sort of classic Conan story. So that's coming out this week. From DC Comics, we have Catwoman number 68, written by Will Pfeiffer, art by David Lopez. The reason I put this one in there is that there's been... The solicitation says, violence and the chaos hit home for Catwoman. Reverberations of this issue will be felt all through the DCU starting in Countdown. So if you're like a Countdown completist, if you want to have everything that has anything to Countdown...
I like Will Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
I do, too. I think it's a good book. It is a good book. But, you know, people that want to get all the Countdown stuff, you may be interested in that one. Flash, the Fastest Man Alive, number 13. Daniel and Art Thibert, cover by Tony S. Daniel. This one was supposed to come out last week. It didn't, for whatever reason. It's coming out this week, supposedly. They've been pumping this one up as something big is going to happen, and with the announcement today...
It's the last issue.
It's the last issue of Flash, the Fastest Man Alive. Mark Waid's taking over the book, and it'll be called the Flash, and it'll pick up at issue 231 of The Flash. So something's going to happen to this. More than likely, Bart's going to die or something big like that. I don't know. Highwayman, number 1 of 5. It's a miniseries that's coming out from DC through Wildstorm. Written by Mark Bernadin and Adam Freeman, art by Lee Garbett. I just like the sound of this book. It's about two highwaymen, which were like couriers. When they were younger, they could pretty much take anything anywhere. I mean, they were a criminal element. They would, you know, whatever it might be, they could do it. They could deliver whatever you might need delivered. But now they're sort of older, past their prime, that kind of thing, and they get caught up in a sort of bad situation, and they have to find their way out of it. I just like the idea of it. It just sounds like a cool, you know...
Something we would like.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe check that out. Image Comics, we got Repo number 1. This is from the guys that did Teenagers from Mars and The Couriers.
You like Teenagers from Mars.
Yeah, I really like... I didn't write down his name, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. But if you read that book, you might want to check this out. It's a mini-series that's coming out. Weird World of Jack Staff, King Size Special Number 1. Paul Grist, Jack Staff. I know there's a lot of fans out there about this. A lot of fans of Jack Staff that are out there. This is a special issue that's coming out Wednesday. Marvel's got Incredible Hulk 107, the continuation of World War Hulk, with Hercules and the Angel, and looks like some ex-defenders, and whether or not they're gonna help the Hulk or go up against him.
Some Gary Frank goodness there.
Yeah. Legion of Monsters, Satana, written by Robin Firth and Jonathan Hickman, who is from Nightly News.
Robin Firth
is the assistant to Stephen King.
Yeah, she was basically the kind of unsung hero of the Dark Tower series.
Right. Well, she's writing the Satana story, and Hickman is doing the backup.
Oh, we got to call Jonathan up
with
about
the Living Mummy. He's doing the backup story in that.
Good
so,
for him.
And I've really enjoyed the Legion of Monsters stuff so far. It's been fun. Mythos Spider-Man, Paul Jenkins, art by Paulo Rivera, and I like the Mythos stuff. I know some people haven't been thrilled with it, whatever, but...
Oh, the X-Men Mythos is one of my
favorite single comics
ever.
The X-Men Endangered Species one-shot, which is written by Mike Carey, pencils by Scott Eaton, and a Mark Silvestri cover. This is the sort of first step towards the whole X-Men extinction storyline that's going on, so you might want to check that out if you want to keep up to date on that one. And Mike Carey stuff is always good. DC Comics. I'm sorry. We already went through that. So that's all the single issue stuff that I picked out that's coming out.
The DC stuff.
Well, this is trades. Trades that are coming out this week, because last week Scotty said he'd like to know more about trades that are coming out. So I pulled out a bunch that are coming out. This one I'm really interested in: Batman, Ego, and Other Tales hardcover. It's Darwin Cook. It's $24.99. It's all new stories of stuff plus. There's some stories: Batman Gotham Knights number 23 and 33, Solo number 1 and number 5, Darwin Cook, Paul Grist, with Tim Sale, Cook art, and other stuff. I'm going to pick that up, no question.
$50 for that.
Yeah, anything with Darwin Cook. Blue Beetle Volume 2, this is the new Blue Beetle series, this is the second trade of that is coming out, so if you've been waiting on the trade for that series. JSA presents Stars and Stripes Volume 1.
Wow, is this the original Geoff Johns stuff?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
It is, so I'm sure Tom will be grabbing that. Superman Batman Volume 5, The Enemies Among Us hardcover, by Mark Verheiden and art by Ethan Van Sciver and others. X-Men First Class hardcover is coming out that collects the X-Men First Class number 1 through 8, and that book's now going to be an ongoing, but you may want to catch up.
Yeah, written by Jeff Parker.
Ultimate Fantastic Four Volume 3 hardcover, which collects the Volume 5 and Volume 6 trades.
If you want to know where those pesky Marvel zombies came
from, this is where it all started.
This is the hardcover to get.
And also Ultimate Fantastic Four Volume 8 trade is coming out, which collects Ultimate Fantastic Four 39 through 41 and Annual Number 2. So both, I don't know, a lot of people collect the hardcovers, some people collect the trade, so I figure put them back.
The hardcovers are great.
I love hardcovers. Marvel Adventures Avengers Volume 3 Digest trade, written by Jeff Parker. It's $6.99 with some art by Juan Santa Cruz and a cover by Cameron Stewart.
Hey.
So that could be cool.
Of the other side.
Yeah. Yes. Thunderbolts Guardian Protocol trade paperback. This is the Fabian Nicieza and Tom Grummet stuff of the Thunderbolts run. It collects Thunderbolts 106 to 109. And from Image, we got Phonogram Volume 1.
Unfamiliar with that book.
No, I never heard of that. It's it's about music and magic and David Cole and our buddies Karen Gillan and Jamie McKelvey's first trade. So congratulations to them. If you haven't read Phonogram, go pick up the trade. It's worth it. Yeah, check it out.
And if you don't like it, give it to a friend of yours who's a music fan, and they will probably dig it.
A few other ones. I had this one in here, but that's already come out before. Image Comics. This is a book, actually, that's coming out. It's from Tomorrow's Publishing. It's Image Comics Road to Independence. It's a softcover book for $34.95. It's basically the history of Image Comics and its creation. And it's all about how, you know, what Image was, how it came about, and its effect on the industry.
Sure, so there's, you know, there's a lot of folks. We've got a thread on the forum about Comics 101 suggestions, and several people had asked for Comics 101 Image, the history of Image Comics. So I don't know if we're going to be getting to that anytime soon. I'm sure we will down the road, but if you really want to know about the history of Image Comics, this would probably be a
this
great
be
place
the place
to start.
Absolutely. Virgin Entertainment has a few trades. Debbie Trade, Snake Woman, and John Woo's Seven Brothers are all coming out.
Snake Woman was really good.
It was good. It was good. It'd be worth picking up. So that's a list of all the new releases and trades that are coming out this Wednesday.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. Maybe we'll hear about some of those next week.
Maybe. You never know.
All right.
And we missed one last week that came out this week, which was the Fantastic Four Omnibus Volume 2 came out last week. And we somehow missed that.
Some power cosmic goodness.
Yeah,
in that
one. Yeah, good
first
stuff.
Appearance of Galactus and Silver Surfer, and that's interesting timing on that.
Yeah, it's very, very. Marvel's good at that. So there you go.
All right, there's a few different ways that you can interact with the show. One of them is our hotline.
Yes.
Sal, details on the hotline?
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail, and we will play on the show. Probably. Unless it's vulgar. Too vulgar. Which we haven't found too vulgar yet. But
all right. We also have some listener emails. You can email the show at info@aroundcomics.com. Or you can email any of us individually at Chris, Sal, or Tom at Around Comics.
Scotty.
We're working on, do we have the Scotty?
No, we don't.
The Scotty at Around Comics.
I don't think that's a good idea.
All right. We've got this one from... Baby Jesus.
Baby Jeebus. Hey, guys. Great podcast. I started listening a few months ago. I was doing some catching up and noticed that none of you mentioned the new Blue Beetle comics during your Under the Radar episode. What you alls be racist, Mang? Keep up the good work. I'll remember to leave a high mark on iTunes.
Yes, we are racist.
I don't think I could be racist against that particular...
Yeah, it's Mr. Salazar.
My race.
No, I've heard good stuff about it.
I've actually started picking up the last few issues of it. I wasn't really interested.
I really liked the character in Brave and the Bold, and it's
That's what kind of turned me on to reading the regular. It's
that
okay.
And his Hero Click figure, second click is badass. Eight points, so good. I'm sorry.
Nerd.
Okay, yeah,
shut up.
Went too far, didn't I?
It's not. It's I don't know if I'll continue to read it, just only because it's not. Just sort of like not for me. Yeah, I mean it's, you know, it's like a teenage kind of. I think if you're like a fan of maybe like a Runaways or even Invincible, I mean it's sort of like just sort of a funny, lighthearted action superhero book.
Young superhero kind of coming to grips with his powers.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Which when I was, you know, 16, it. You know, that was great stuff, but now it's like, whatever. I'm still a little upset about Ted being killed. So.
Yeah.
But I know Mike Norton, who's a huge Blue Beetle fan, still enjoys that book. So.
Does he like the new series?
Yeah.
Hey, well, good for him. I actually got this...
he's insane.
I got this email from Martin Gray. It says, hi, I've just found the show, episode 107 being the first I've heard. Wow, that was a heck of a show to come in on.
Sorry, yeah, go back, listen, there's some better ones than that one.
Yeah, that was kind of a off the rails episode for us, but stick in there. He says, is there a trade of the rest? No, just go back and listen, please. It was lovely to listen to on my iPod. Then it ended, and it was back to Snoopy the Musical. So hurry up and record a new edition. So here we are recording a new edition.
All right, here you go.
But do you really like anything by Greg Rucka? Even Wonder Woman, with its two-page sequences of our heroine walking through a building, or Checkmate, with its interminably tedious spy talk? I like Mr.
He loves that stuff more than anything.
I love Checkmate. It says, I like Mr. Ruck as Superman, though, and I like Mr. Ruck as Superman, though, and Gotham Central, and he's kind of cute. Alrighty then. If you all happen to be ripping the piss out of Marvel's Avengers 31, please represent my scorn. Were I with you, this is how I would laugh at the incredible plot twist of Mr. Brian Michael Bendis. Ha 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 ha. That's how he laughs. And this is Martin from Edinburgh.
So. Well, Martin, I can attest that Chris has not seen a Greg Rucka book that he doesn't like.
It's true.
I don't think there has been one out. Even there hasn't been anything. Pretty much anything Greg Rucka has put on paper, whether it's comics, novels. He blew his nose in a hanky once, and I think Chris kept it.
I have it in glass.
Man Crush does not accurately describe the love that Chris has for Greg and his work. So
he's a beautiful man.
There you go. As far as New Avengers 31, our policy on the show generally is to only talk about stuff that we like. We don't usually rip on books. Occasionally we'll make fun of something or whatever. We're not really going to tear apart New Avengers 31. Personally, it's a book I've gotten tired with. And
I want to see where it goes.
I'm not ready to give up on it. Yeah, I mean, I was a Bendis fan when he wrote Torso, and that's where I found Bendis, and then I was turned on to Powers, mm-hmm. and that's where I really became a huge fan of Bendis, and I'm still a fan of Bendis's, and I still love Powers with him and Oeming. His mainstream stuff for me has been hit or miss. And more of late, it's been miss, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. I don't know.
A lot with Bendis is that it takes so long for his storylines to play out,
and when they
so
do,
hard
it's
hard to judge,
you know,
them month
it's
to
a,
month.
And when they do, it's like, you know, how many times am I going to get disappointed with the cliffhanger that's built up? And, you know, it's Ronin, it's Hawkeye, it's, you know. Skrulls, it's, you know, what
Mr. Mind.
I just tell a good story.
And give us some payoff.
But some people are huge fans. I know Pat loves Bendis, and
that's fun.
Yeah, hey, you know.
And I like a lot of work.
That's why there's a lot of different books out there.
I just don't like all of his work. Okay, last email. Okay. You want to read it?
Yeah, I'll read it. Okay. This is from G-Dog. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, I have an idea. Have you guys ever considered making a spoof track to a movie and offering it on your website? Get a DVD of some bad comic movie, of any bad movie, really. Watch it and record yourselves MST3K-ing it, the whole thing.
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah. Then offer the MP3 as a download. That was from G-Dog. No, we've never really thought about doing it. I used to do that when I was a kid with me and my friends. We used to do, like, and when I'm a huge fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000. I think it's hilarious, and they do an amazing job. And those guys, unfortunately, they don't do it anymore, but funnier than hell. But
I'm not witty enough to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it would be kind of interesting to some people.
Shut up, Mark.
For Tom, you know, I'm sure Tom could say some interesting things, and Scotty and I might come up with it. But I don't know that we'll be doing that anytime soon. First off, we don't really get together and watch movies all that much.
Friday night, we come to the shop, and that's our time together. So
yeah, I don't. You never know. Yeah, I think the CGS guys did that once.
Yeah, they did
or twice
with Catwoman.
Yeah, I think they have done that. So maybe go check out, you know, what they've done with it. I don't think we'll be doing it. But thanks for the suggestion. Keep them coming, and you never know. We might
for our show. I would think that what would work better for us is a movie that we all enjoy, because I think that we like to give, you know.
Although it could give us an opportunity to really just rip on something.
Don't do that on mic. I'd rather look at a movie that we all enjoy.
You know, all of you people out there listening, if you really want to hear that, then email us and let us know, and then we'll do it. Otherwise, no. Forget it.
All right, last one. Hey, Chris, Tom, and Sal.
Yes.
You guys are bastards.
I know.
All kidding aside, the show's been great. I absolutely love the Comics Under the Radar episode, as well as the Cecil Castellucci and Jamie McKelvey interviews.
I loved the Cecil Castellucci interview.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, and I loved listening.
You know
to
where...
That's
not
a great
Cecil is not her real name.
It's not?
No. I believe it's
Deanna, but I'm not for sure.
Why would you change her name to Cecil?
Because she is
she's
a
an
huge
author.
Fan, oh. Huge fan of Cecil B. DeMille.
Okay.
And that's why that's it came from grade school. I read
interesting,
that in another
interesting.
Interview.
All right. Way to out her.
Okay, this is from Pat Wicker, by the way.
Well, you
says, episode 107 was hilarious, though I really wish I was there to rebut some of the top-of-the-stack discussion. Have you guys ever thought of revisiting old topics? I think it would be a cool idea for you guys to look at Marvel, DC, Indie, and Manga's current state as of this year. It's an old series. It was a month-long
series. Well, we did that, like,
we
did that last year at the end of the year, didn't we?
That was, like, episode, like... 6 through 10.
Well, we'll probably do it again this year at the end of the year.
Yeah, maybe. The discussion about death in comics and marketing were great, too. A lot of stuff has happened since the first time you tackled those topics.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot that can be said about them in the time that's passed. By the way, the show feels naked without Harry Carey.
I feel naked without Harry Carey.
That's Pat Wicca. Hello, everybody.
Don't,
I can't do it.
Don't sully... Harry Carey's good name.
John's good memory.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we will definitely go back.
Because we're running out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we're tapped. No, we're going to go back and cover some of those topics that change from year to year. I think marketing and comics will be a fun one.
Sure.
Death and comics, another one. The first one that we did that is not available for download anymore was digital distribution versus the versus the local comic shop.
It's not available anymore?
No.
What episode was that?
One.
Oh, yeah. That was awful.
And I'm glad it's not available anymore.
Okay.
All right, so that's some listener email. Thanks,
Thank
everyone.
You.
We really enjoy it. Here's a couple other ways that you can interact with the show.
You can go to www.aroundcomics.com, where you can download and print out an LCS challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in the store. If they do, send us an email, and we'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
You can also become one of our Frapper Mappers. Sad, we have some new Frappers.
We do. Eric White from Omaha, Nebraska. He said, "Hey guys, I've been listening for a few months and I'm loving the show. Way to go." Well, thank you, Eric.
We have Chris from Roanoke, Virginia. Totally digging around comics. Keep up the great work, guys.
We'll try. It's when we hit great, then we'll continue.
We got a 3 out of 5 review on iTunes this week. And I was like, that's probably about accurate.
Yeah, 3 out of 5 is good. We have Damian Fulmer. From Parma, Ohio. He said, "Love the show, guys. Keep laughs and information coming."
We'll try. Chad Aratek Syat from Bellingham, Washington. You are all my heroes. I always butcher his name. It's
You're still his hero, even though you butcher his fake name. That's not his real name.
Aratek.
Aratek? I don't know. John O'Fallon from Missouri.
John from O'Fallon,
Missouri. Thanks for the great show.
You know, that's right across the river from O'Fallon, Illinois.
Oh, wonderful.
O'Fallon, Missouri is also the home of the River City Rascals minor league baseball team.
And people wonder why our shows just keep going and going.
You could take me up on my personal favorite, which is the iTunes Music Store review. Special thanks this week to Clark 147, Professor Mullins, Bottle City, and Josh Ship or Shippy.
It's Ship. He came on the forum and said it's Ship. Ship, like his screen name is Shipwreck, but it's S-C-H-I-P-P-E, ship,
E.
Not shippy. It's not. We're not in old English, like, you know, shut up. Check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. We post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at AroundComics.com. Remember, you can also visit us at ComicSpace and MySpace.com/AroundComics.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at ComicsPodcasts.com.
This episode is sponsored by Borders. To help mice thrive in a world filled with harsh conditions and predatory attacks, the Mouse Guard was formed. In this first volume, Saxon, Kenzie, and Liam are dispatched to find a missing merchant mouse that never arrived at his destination. In doing so, they stumble onto much more than they had bargained for. Get your copy of David Peterson's breakthrough series, Mouse Guard, at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels, manga, and more. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
Don't forget to be a hero with our Be a Hero contest. All you have to do is make a donation at heroinitiative.org and help veteran creators in need. Then send us an email at hero@aroundcomics.com, letting us know that you did it. Everyone that makes a donation is entered into a drawing that will take place at the end of June. The contest is being sponsored by InStockTrades.com, and they're including $100 in gift certificates good for anything at InStockTrades.com. In addition to a $50 gift certificate, the first place winner will receive a prize pack, including a one-of-a-kind hardcover edition of Jeffrey Brown's I'm Going to Be Small, an autographed Scotty Young sketchbook, a Mike Norton Fallen Son edition Captain America sketch, and more. Second prize will receive a $50 gift certificate to InStockTrades.com. So donate at heroinitiative.org, then email us at hero@aroundcomics.com. All entries need to be in by June 30th. Thank everyone for joining us today. Sal.
What?
Scotty Young.
He kind of, yeah, he did join.
Pat Loika.
Even Josh Middleton joined us, sort of.
Thank Mark for joining,
hosting?
For hosting us.
He joined us.
As always, Ted Apoch from the forum.
Just showed up a little while ago.
Absolutely. Everyone have a fantastic week.
Yes.
We'll be back again on
Thursday
with our talk about Frank Miller.
Spotlight.
All sorts of fun stuff there. Mm-hmm. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in.
And around comics.
Like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.